Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this, the ninth Sunday after Pentecost, is taken from the Epistle to the Hebrews, the 11th chapter. We will read the first 16 verses of that chapter. That's Hebrews chapter 11. And we will read verses 1 through 16, where we read in the name of our Lord. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and almighty God, we do thank you for this your word. And we thank you, Father, for the gift of faith. We pray, Father, that you would keep us ever steadfast in the same. Through the working of your Holy Spirit, through the work of him who gave us to have eternal life by the shedding of his own blood, Jesus Christ, your Son. Sanctify us in the truth, Father. Your word is truth. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. Now, English is a great language. It's a very, very wonderful language. And it has a tremendous vocabulary. There's a lot of words in English. When you ask anybody that has to learn English, they're like kind of awestruck quite often because we have words for everything. We got words all over the place. I'm always very disappointed with English at one level, though. It does not do a very good job of rendering the idea of faith. In Greek, the word faith is pistis. And to believe, in English, we say believe. But in Greek, that word is pistuo. You see, they're from the same root. And so very often in English, what we do is we miss the point of this. Because we turn around and we talk about faith, but then we say believe. In Greek, you don't do that. You say you have faith. There's faith and you have faith. And so it's very difficult to do this passage and really grasp the full sense. You heard me emphasize the word faith in here. But actually also, every time that we say the word believe in this passage, or we talk about anything like that, we are mentioning the word faith. I can't even tell you how many ways and in the different directions in this portion and throughout this chapter that this writer mentions the idea of having faith and how significant faith is. And this is like one of the greatest homilies ever written. This is actually a sermon. The book of Hebrews is a sermon. And it's an amazing homily. It's an amazing sermon. And it has a tremendous tie in this sense. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to read from the latter part of chapter 10, from verse 35, so that you can get the sense of this and realize what leads into chapter 11. He says, therefore, don't throw away your open access. And here you remember that passage about coming before the throne of grace with boldness. That's what this is referring to, your open access. He says, don't throw that away. He says, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done what God wants, you would receive the promise as recompense. For yet a very little while, he who is coming will be here and won't delay. And my just person by faith will live. Now if anyone pulls back, my life won't be pleased with that one. Now we ourselves aren't of the pulling back into destruction, but of the faith into the acquired possession of life. And this is what I want you to understand. That's what starts. Now this faith. That's how chapter 11 starts. What he's talking about is you have this full access to God through the blood of Jesus Christ. You have the full access to God by his grace. You have been given full and free access to the throne of God. The Holy Spirit is indwelling you. The Holy Spirit, as we read in Romans 8, Paul tells us the Holy Spirit prays for us. The Holy Spirit gives us this access. God hears God. God knows God. God knows the voice of God. God, knowing the voice of God, knows us. God knows us in heart. God knows exactly who we are and what we are. And the author of Hebrews says, we are not pulling back from this faith. We don't turn back from this faith. We live in expectation of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We recognize this faith. And he says, this faith. And I want you to understand, this is one of these verses that's really hard to get to in the King James Version. People quote it all the time, but honestly, I don't think they know what they're saying. In Greek, what this says, this faith is already having what we hope for. We say this word, it's the substance of things hoped for. What it means is it's already having what we hope for. This Greek word, hypostasis, means it kind of has this sense of a beingness. It's a substance, that's correct, but it means something that's substantive. In other words, what we hope for is reality. It's not some ethereal thing that we're out there like positive thinking trying to make this happen or something like that. Faith is really understanding and knowing that what is promised to us by God, that is real. And I've told you before, where you're here right now, that's not real. This is transient. In modern physics, they understand this. We don't even know what anything that's here is made out of. We don't even understand how any of that works. If you think you do, you have been totally misguided. You look at stuff and you think, oh, that's the real thing. No, it ain't. It ain't. As a matter of fact, it's all transitory. We don't even know how that junk comes to be. We can't even make anything like that happen. We don't even understand at the subatomic world what's going on in anything. We don't have the slightest idea. What the author of the Hebrews is talking about is reality, what's really real. What is honestly real is by faith. You see, faith brings us into reality. It brings us into this place of having what we hope for. It's knowing that that is the reality. And then it uses this other term in the King James. It says the evidence of things unseen. Actually, this word elenchos in Greek, it means proof. It means that something is established. It's that the things that we don't see are proved. They actually exist. You see, we have this weird idea that somehow or another, by sight and by our sentient experience, we determine reality. We don't. We just live in a temporal reality that God gave us to live in until the time that the temporal body ceases to function. And at that point, it doesn't have any reality anymore. But we do, because we're far greater than just this fleshly body. We're far greater than all of this. There is a reality that transcends our reality. And this is what the author of Hebrews is talking about. This faith that he says, we don't draw back from this faith. It doesn't matter that people out in the world say, well, your prayers don't work. We know better. They work. It doesn't matter that in the secular world, they say, well, prove it to me by showing it to me. We understand very clearly. I don't have to prove anything to you to show anything to you because you can't see it anyways. The reality is that that is narcissistic nonsense. That was developed out of Aristotle, and Aristotle is wrong. The reality of things is that this transcendent reality comes to us now in the person of God, who dwells with us, who lives with us. By the Holy Spirit comes to us, and he tells us what is actually real. He gives us the sense of what is real. When he tells us to have faith in him, he means that's the real thing. He means now you can trust me. If you place your trust in anything that is on the face of this earth, you are likely to be horribly disappointed. Because stuff doesn't always work. And you understand this. When all of a sudden you turn on your phone, because we all have phones, and it doesn't do what you want. And it's supposed to. And you recognize right away, here's this stupid phone, and my whole life is tied to this phone, and it will not do what I want. Because let me tell you, phones aren't that reliable. It's the same thing with computers. I listen to people all the time, they get so frustrated with their computer. What made you think that sucker was always going to work? Nothing does. There's nothing in humanity that functions in that way. The only thing that really matters is the gift of God in Jesus Christ. That's real. That's reality. That you can count on. That you can take to the bank, to use that expression. That you can rely on. And this is exactly what the author of the Hebrews is trying to draw us to understand. He says, in this faith, in this reality, this finished work of Jesus Christ, in this understanding of the work of God, he says, these elders that we look up to, and he's talking here as a good Jewish boy of his own time, he's saying very clearly, these elders that we look up to, he says, they were testified for by God. God gave testimony to their faith. God showed very clearly that what they said and spoke about by faith, that God would do, that he would fulfill his promise for them, that he would always be faithful. And this is the reality of understanding as he goes through this whole list. He says very clearly, we start out right from the beginning. He says, we by faith, we comprehend that the creation of the ages was by God's utterance. He says, everything that is here, everything that we see, everything that we understand by our senses, you know, we do this stuff. We look at stuff, we smell it, you know, we taste it, we touch it, we hear it. All of these types of things that we do, he says, all of this was simply made for us to function in that way by God. He spoke it into being for us. He gave it its existence, which is why he also can take it all away. And in a moment, St. Peter says, it will disappear. It will be gone. He says, God brought all of this into being. He says, in order that from things without appearance, things that we couldn't see or understand at all, he says, what we see came into being. And that's why no human being can understand how it happened. Because God simply spoke it into being. God made it to come into existence. And he says, by faith, Abel, a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, offered to God, through which he was testified to be just, because God testified to his gifts. And through that testimony, even though he's dead, he still speaks. Because his story is recorded for us in the Word. And every time that Word is read, Abel speaks. His faith speaks. God speaks of his faith. God testifies to the faith of Abel. When people try to figure out why did God receive Abel's sacrifice and not Cain's, the point is simply, as Hebrews expresses, Abel's sacrifice was by faith. He made it by faith, knowing that God was worthy of trust, not in order to get something from God, but rather to understand that God was good. By faith, Enoch, who people speculate all the time about Enoch. By faith, Enoch was removed, and that's that Greek word. It actually means he was removed. He didn't die. So some people try to say, well, Enoch actually died. No, he did not. The book of Hebrews says very clearly he was removed. He didn't die. Yet he wasn't found because God removed him. For before the removal, he had been testified to as pleasing to God. And that's why you recognize there's no verses here. Because we break this all up all the time. We throw this quote around all the time. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Well, that's talking about Enoch. It says very clearly in Greek, it says, for before his removal, before the removal, he had been testified to as pleasing to God. And without faith, there is no power to please God. In other words, what he's saying is, Enoch was faithful. He was faithful, which is why God testified that Enoch was pleasing to him. That we understand very clearly that this is the means of God finding pleasure. God finds pleasure when we trust him to do what he says. And we rely upon him to do as he says. And he says, following that, for that person must have faith, the one who comes to God, that he is, that God is. And to those who search for him, he is the reward giver. Faith. It's faith by which we understand our existence. It's faith by which we understand our relationship with God. It is faith by which we please God. It is faith that brings us to this place of understanding that it is God who blesses us and keeps us. It is God who constantly acts in this way. And then he goes on, by faith, Noah, concerning the things which were not yet seen. In other words, understanding, he couldn't see any of this stuff. He couldn't see anything. God just told him to build an ark. What did he do? Well, he went out and he built an ark for the salvation of his household because he reverenced God, because he trusted God, through which he judged the world. In other words, he showed that the world was condemned. And of the act of being declared just by faith, he became an heir. And that's why we read that end of 10, the just shall live by faith. He says very clearly, you realize this is what happened for Noah. By his act of faith, he was declared just. It says, by faith, when Abraham was called, he obeyed and went out to the place that he was going to receive his inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he traveled as one living in another person's house into the promised land as an illegal alien. And that's what that means in Greek. He lived as an illegal alien. He didn't have documentation to live in that land. He was not a citizen of that land. It says, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was waiting for the city whose foundations God is the technician and framer of. He was waiting for this new abode. And he says, by faith also Sarah, who couldn't have children, received power to produce descendants, and beyond the time of the normal age for having children, she gave birth. Because faithful, she considered him who had promised. And that's the key. That's why Greek works a lot better here. Faithful. God is faithful. Faith is founded on the faithful God. She had faith, and by that faith, she had power to do that which is not possible, which cannot be done. And people will tell you, biologically, you can't do this. Let me tell you what God thinks about our biology. That would be nothing. God does exactly as God sees fit to do. Because God is God. And Sarah trusted in God. And she received the promise as God had promised. And she had Isaac. It says, for this reason also, from one were born, even these from one as good as dead, an innumerable amount of descendants, like the stars in the sky and like the sand of the seashore. In accord with faith, these all died, not having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them, even though they confessed that they were foreigners and temporary residents in the land. That this was not going to be the place of their eternal dwelling. They knew very clearly that they were just transient. They were transitory. As a matter of fact, they would not be here. This is not where they would live out their life. That the living of their life would be in eternity with their God. That they had another city. And he says, for the people who say such things make clear that they're searching for a home nation. Says they make clear that they're looking for another better place. So if that nation, they were constantly remembering the one they had stepped out from, they would have had opportune time to turn back. He says they could have gone back. Abraham could have gone back to the Ur of the Chaldees. He could have gone back. He says, but now a better one they're desiring to attain. He says, that is a heavenly one. And then you get this wonderful conclusion to this section of what he's really trying to say. For this reason, God isn't ashamed to be called their God. He isn't ashamed to be called their God. For he prepared for them a city. What he says is that you can count on it. You can count on it. You see, in this world, there is no hope. This city is transient. It will not survive. It can't. Noah was right. He saw its end, and he knew right away, it ends. This thing ends. The only hope is God. And it's the trust in that promise that God will indeed deliver. That the God who says, you call on me in the day of trouble and I will deliver you, that he means it. You see, this is faith. Faith brings us to the point. It's not democratic. It's not Republican. It's not political. It's not American. It transcends everything that we know. It knows no boundary within the understanding of human understanding. It brings us to a different and new citizenship. It brings us to a place where we understand that as the offspring of God, we live eternally by faith. We live, we know that promise. We do not place our trust in any earthly structure, no matter how much we may love it. Because it all fades. Fading is the worldling's pleasure, John Newton wrote. All his boasted pomp and show. We come to this point of realizing it is by faith. We're being lied to. In this world, we're being told somehow we ought to trust our senses, somehow we ought to trust what we hear, somehow we ought to trust what we see, somehow we ought to trust this voice, we ought to trust this person, we ought to do this, we ought to do that, we got to do this, we got to do that. That's all garbage. We have a singular calling as Christians on the face of this earth, and that calling is faith. It is to have faith in our God. Is to understand, even though everything be swirling about us, nonetheless, we are kept by the hand of the Almighty God. It is the hand of the Almighty God that sustains us. It is the work of Jesus the Christ that keeps us. The one who founded and did all of these things sent his only begotten Son to go to the cross, to suffer and die, to take away our sins. So that through his blood, by the power of his working, we would believe that we would know. Yes, we would know. That even if something takes my earthly life, it can never take away my life. Because Jesus, the Christ, says, he who believes in me, he who has faith in me, will never die. And he says to Martha, do you believe this? Do you believe this? And that's the key of our existence. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? We have got to get ourselves reoriented in our world. We've been swept up in a pile of nonsense. And we have been recruited by people who are not worthy of our allegiance. We are called to follow God through Jesus the Christ. We are called now to faith. We are called to have this faith that trusts in God, that knows that the door of access is open to us, that we may boldly enter into that place and receive the gift of God. And today, that's why we celebrate the sacrament. We celebrate the sacrament today because we come freely. We come freely to our God seeking His grace, and He freely gives it in the body and blood of His Son, which we cannot see. It comes to us in a wafer and wine. But we receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ because God says that's what it is. And we understand very clearly that is our life. We live not by sight. We live not by taste. We live not by hearing, not by touching. We live by faith. And by faith, we receive exactly what we seek. Because God is the rewarder of all of those who seek Him. You see, you come here today as a sinner. And it should be that the door should be closed to all of us. But we come here today as sinners saved by grace. We come to a God that through His dying and resurrected Son blew the doors off of the temple and said, just come to me. You come to me. You freely come to me. You just come to me. You come to me. You come to me. And I will give you life. I will give you life eternally. You will taste that wine. And you will taste that bread. You will taste them. They will be physical realities to you. But you understand very clearly what you are partaking of is the body and blood of Jesus. It is His life poured out for yours. It is His life filling you with life. It is His life by His Spirit and by faith. By faith, you receive the fullness of God, the incarnate God. See, this author, he's not playing around with this stuff. He recognizes right away what's going on in his world, and he knows all of those things. But the testimony is the testimony of faith. And this is what the world needs to hear and see from us. We've got to stop complaining about our circumstance and worrying about it. Because let me tell you exactly what worrying about our circumstance is going to do for us. That would be diddly squat. Worrying about our circumstance isn't going to do anything. Worry changes nothing. The thing that changes things is the prayer of a faithful human being. Is understanding full well that engaging God at the level of His promise, God cannot disappoint. God cannot be faithless. Says in the scripture, even if we are faithless, God cannot be faithless. God cannot do that. He must be faithful according to His promise. Our focus is being pulled away from where it needs to be. Our focus needs to be on our God. We need to have our trust in our God. We need to be able to answer with Martha. When Jesus asks, do you believe this? Do you have faith in this? We need to be able to say with her, yes, 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 I have faith. I have faith. I know that my Redeemer lives. I know that He prays for me. I know. That my life is hid with Christ in God. I know that nothing, Nothing can separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. I know that, and I come here today to partake of his body and blood, knowing full well exactly what I'm doing and exactly what I'm receiving. And I walk out that door as a child of God, knowing that I can trust my God. No matter what I see the rest of this day, no matter what I see the rest of my life, I can trust my God. And nothing that this world tells me is going to shake that faith. Because that is grounded in us by the Holy Spirit of God. It's God who testifies of God. And we are waiting for a greater city. We are waiting for the grand city of which we are part. We can't see it right now, but we are nonetheless part of it. We are citizens of that city. And God testifies of our faith by showing his goodness to us, which is why we still have a nation, which is why we still have the things that we have. Because God in his goodness continues to bless us in spite of our frailty and weakness. God continues to remain faithful. We must forever have our eyes and hearts fixed upon God, upon Jesus the Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. Our faith. We must trust in him. And live. We live by faith. The just person shall live by his faith. Shall live by his faith. You don't even realize how marvelous you are. You don't realize the glorious sight that you are before your God. You can't see it. I use this illustration all the time. You get up and look in the mirror and you think, I got another wrinkle or I got another thing going on. You don't realize that your God is looking back at you. He doesn't even need a mirror. Your God is looking at you and he's looking at you and saying, man, are you beautiful. You're glorious. My splendor radiates from you because my spirit is in you. And my son has washed you unto righteousness through his blood. The world needs faith. It's dying in unfaith. And yeah, I'm sorry, Judy, I made that word up. That's not an English word. We use unbelief, but it doesn't fit. It's unfaith. We don't have the faith. The faith. And that's what the world needs. The way the world is going to find the faith is through us. That's why he says this, the testimony of all these elders. He says they testify of the faith. Their lives testify to that faith. Our lives, too, need to be a testimony to that faith. So that when people look upon and understand us, they understand one thing. Our God could be trusted. Our God can be trusted. And whoever calls upon him, he will deliver. He will deliver. The world isn't lost, not yet. It's not lost yet. There's a time yet. The day of grace is the day of grace. And we have been sent out to testify of the faith. What we have received in fullness, we can bestow in fullness. And we pray, and we need to pray all the time. We pray, Father, turn hearts to you. Turn people to your word. Let them hear and come to the knowledge of the truth. Show your faithfulness to your world.
Because we're waiting. We're waiting. We're waiting for you to come. But not quite yet. Give me 10 more minutes. You know, I always kind of want to be like Hezekiah. Give me just a little more time. Give me another day. Because maybe yet. There's one soul that will turn. Maybe yet. We live by faith. The just person shall live by faith. By the faithful God. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and almighty God, you who in your mercy gave so great a gift to us through your Son, that he went to the cross, suffered and died for us, took away our sin, washed it, cleansed us through his blood, and made us pure and holy in your sight, that we could be just. We pray even now, Father, strengthen our faith. Give us that marvelous sense of the power of all that you have done. Give us that testimony of your faithfulness, because, Father, that's what we need in this world. We don't need any more complaint. We need to have trust. That, Father, yet still, that people would be drawn to the truth of your gospel and in the same receive that glorious hope of eternal life. Grant us this day, Father. Grant us to have such a faith that even as we do here, that we come before your throne of grace with openness, with boldness, that we come to receive the promise through the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And we get it because you promised. And we have faith. For Jesus' sake, amen.